season, even for this time, and undertake for the funeral services as well. May the speaking voice of God be heard. May many be challenged, even about their own frailty and mortality at this time. And Lord, abide with us here tonight in the service. We commit the meeting into your hand. We need the help of God in every part of this service. We pray, Father, that you'll come and be with us. Come and guide us tonight through the meeting. We pray that help will be given. We pray especially for the power and the enabling, the help of the Holy Ghost to be upon the service tonight. We thank you for our brother Samuel that has come into our midst. We pray, Father, that he will feel at home amongst us this evening. We pray that he'll know the presence of the Lord to be with him. We ask thee, Father, just to stand by him this evening. We look forward to the report and to the presentation. We thank you for the work of the Revival Movement Association. We thank you, Father, for how that work has been maintained so marvellously, so miraculously. We have to stand back tonight and say it's been the Lord's doing, and it's marvellous in our eyes. We want to thank you, Father, for the abundant sowing of the seed, the many souls, the multitude of souls that has been brought to Christ through this ministry. Thank you too as we consider the Every Home Crusade as well. We thank you for the memory of Mr. Allen and with the vision that you gave to your servant. And we thank you, Father, for the leadership that our brother Samuel has given to the work these many years. We pray that you'll continue to keep him in health and strength. We ask you to encourage his heart, to strengthen his hands. We pray that you'll bless that ministry in an even greater way in coming days and in coming years. We pray that you'll lead it on from strength to strength. We ask that you'll give our brother help tonight. We pray that he'll know the touch of God resting upon him as he speaks to us this evening. Father, our prayer would be that he'll know the anointing of God resting upon his ministry and upon the report that will be given. May our hearts rejoice in the service tonight. Father, as we think of all that you have done and all that you are doing through this ministry, we want to pray that you'll speak to our hearts. We've come to your house tonight to hear a word from God, even for the days in which we're found. And Lord, we just ask that our brother might be an instrument, a channel of blessing, even in your hands this evening. So, Father, hear these, our prayers, and answer our cries. We offer them to thee tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, the hymn 624 then. Here in thy name we are gathered. Come and revive us, O Lord. So we're going to stand together as we sing these verses, please. Thank you. thinking of the words of that fourth verse, showers of blessing. We need them. And that's certainly the case. We need the Lord to pour out His Spirit mightily upon us. The words of the chorus, O graciously hear us, we pray. Pour from Thy windows upon us showers of blessing today. So may the Lord be pleased to do that for us. We're delighted to have our good friend and brother, Mr. Samuel Adams, with us in the service tonight. We appreciate him taking the time to come to share with us here in Armagh this evening. We have, for many years, a great interest in the work of Every Home Crusader, the Revival Movement Association, as it is known. We do remember Mr. Ernie Allen, the founder of that great ministry, and our brother Samuel has been involved with that work and led it for many years. Samuel and Every Home Crusader are a great help to us as a denomination. They're a great help to the missionary work of our church. They help provide us with literature free of charge in foreign languages to be shipped out to a number of our mission stations. And they also help us regularly with shipping and make space available in containers, again free of charge, so that material, in addition to what they print themselves, some other material that we need shipped, they help us with that also. So we want to make that known. We want to acknowledge publicly our sincere thanks to Samuel and to everyone on the team over there for working with us in many of those printing projects. We appreciate it, and it is a great encouragement to us. So our brother's going to come and speak, bring a little word to us, a report, and he has a presentation to show to us as well. But you're very welcome. May the Lord bless you tonight.
Well, first of all, can I say thank you for the kind words of welcome. It is a pleasure to be with you here this evening. I want to say thank you for your prayers, for your support for the ministry. I know many of you have been interested in the work for many years, and we really appreciate that, and we want to say thank you for all of your interest in the ministry. Before we talk about the work, I want us to read a few verses here. I want to read from Acts chapter 14, please. Acts chapter 14. Now, what we're doing here tonight is we're breaking in right at the end of Paul's first missionary journey. So he's just completed his first missionary journey, and we're just going to pick it up here at verse 23. So Acts chapter 14, commencing to read at verse 23. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord, on whom they believed. And after they had passed throughout Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down into Attala, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode a long time with the disciples. I want just to pick up one little phrase there in verse 27. And here we find Paul has come back to Antioch. And what he's saying here is he brought the whole church together. And then he rehearsed the things that God had done with them. What God had done with them. And you know, it is amazing and interesting, just as we read through that whole missionary journey, the things that God did with Paul and Barnabas. And you know, if you go back there to the beginning of Acts chapter 13, verse 1, we find the churches meeting together. We find the Holy Spirit speaks to the folk there, tells them to set aside Paul, Barnabas, and sends them off on this missionary journey. And there they leave there, they visit a few places, and then they end up in the city of Paphos. And there they have this tremendous opportunity of being able to speak and to present the gospel message to one of the leaders of the city there in Paphos. But of course they are faced with opposition at the same time, because there's this sorcerer, this man called Elymas. And Elymas is doing his very best to disturb the message, to distract the ruler, to upset Paul, and so on. And that carries on for a bit, and then eventually in verse 11 we find Paul speaks. And what I want you to note is that he speaks with the command of the Lord. This is not Paul speaking. This is the Lord. And he simply says there, "The Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season." And what happens? Elymas is blind. And then, of course, what happens? This ruler that has been watching this whole situation taking place before his eyes, suddenly, well, he's amazed and he trusts the Lord to be his Saviour. This actually is the very first record of Paul doing a miracle. And you know, it's very interesting as we realise, yes, it is the Lord. The Lord has done that work with Paul and Barnabas. And then, of course, they move on. And they move on through more places, and they arrive into Perga. They come into Antioch in Pisidia. Now, you will realize, of course, that Paul set off from Antioch, but this is not the same Antioch that he set off from. If you were looking at today's map, you would find Antioch that Paul set off from was in Syria. But this Antioch in Pisidia is actually in Turkey, according to our maps of today. And he arrives here into this place, Antioch. And of course, again, he starts preaching the word. You know, it's amazing, as he preaches there, again, there is the people flock out to hear him. The first time he preaches, there's a big crowd, but then after that, they say basically the whole city turns out to hear Paul. What happens? Well, not only had the Jews turned out to hear Paul, but the Gentiles had also turned out. And, well, of course, what happened? The Jews became envious. They were upset. They didn't like, first of all, the message. They didn't like the fact that Paul had captivated all these people and so on. And, of course, they started to cause trouble. But again, the Lord speaks again through Paul, God with them. And verse 47, we see again the Lord speaks. "The Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth." Here's this amazing change. Again, the Jewish people had turned their back upon the Lord. And here the Lord is now saying, okay, if you Jews are not going to accept the gospel, I'm going to open it up. The Gentiles can come and trust me as well. And what happened? We read there in that those last few verses. Again, a multitude of the Gentiles, happy and delighted to be able to trust the Lord. And then Paul moves on in verse start of chapter 14 into Iconium. When he arrives there in Iconium, again we see another multitude of Jews and Greeks, I also believe. And again he keeps moving on and he gets to Lystra. Of course, they welcome him into Lystra, but then things turn nasty, and Paul is stoned, left outside the city as dead, but of course, thankfully, he is not dead. He then turns around and he starts, he goes back through the cities that he's been in, sets up the churches, prays with the elders, ordains them, sets up those churches, sets up that structure, and eventually back into Antioch. And then again, he brings that whole church together and rehearses the things that God had done with them. And you know, tonight, isn't it absolutely amazing whenever you pause and think that whenever we go out, that God is with us and God is working with us. It is should be a tremendous encouragement to our hearts. It is not us going out to work on our own. It is God working with us. And you know, the other angle of that is, and just to pause and think about it just for a second, you know, Almighty God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the creator of mankind, he doesn't do the work without man. He does it with us. He stoops to work with us. And you know, tonight, whenever we pause and think about this, you know, whenever we think of, whenever the Lord speaks to our hearts and asks us to do something, we need to be willing to obey. We need to be doing it. We need to be putting it into practice simply because God is there and God is willing to work with us. But we must be willing as well to do our part. And you know, as I think of that tonight, I think of the work of Every Home Crusade, Revival Movement Association. In many ways, this is exactly what I see tonight, is God working with us. This is not our work. This is not the work of our staff. It's not even the work of all the supporters across the country, people who have been praying for us, people who have been supporting us financially. It is not all of our work. It is God working with us. And that's why tonight it is marvelous. It's amazing just to look at this work and see what God has done. It is not man at all. And tonight we want to give him all the glory and the honor for what he is doing with us tonight. I want to take you now to the work, let you see a little bit of the work as to what is going on. Are we connected or not? Or yeah, here we come. All right. So I want to take you, first of all, to the factory tonight. Let you see a little bit of the work that is going on in the factory at this moment in time. Now, this past year, we used a total of 1,535 tons of paper. This is one of the printing presses here that's printing tracks at that moment. It's printing onto that big reel. But a tremendous volume of paper was used last year. At the moment, we are printing. This is a five-color Heidelberg press in the background. This machine gives us a lot of versatility as far as sizes of sheets. We can use large sheets, smaller sheets, different thicknesses of paper. So a great variety. We're printing in at least 95 languages. I really need to get that figure changed because in the last few weeks, we printed another 9 languages. So new openings and opportunities are appearing all the time. In the foreground there, you will see some of the CF flashcard Bible lessons. This is just the paper being fed into the machine. So white sheets going in one end, and the printed sheets will be coming out the other end. After that, we go to the guillotine, and the guillotine will cut the pages down. Now, we print 8 flashcard Bible lessons on one great big sheet, and that is then cut down to in the guillotine. You will have about 500 sheets there that is cutting through at one time. And that's getting ready then to be made into the books. Now, we have 2 of these machines. These are Muller saddle stitchers. We feed the paper on at one end. The staples go in there in the center. Then we come round to the 3-knife trimmer. We trim all the edges. Split the double book in half, and you have your finished books coming out ready to be boxed. Now, last year we produced something in the region of 7 million Gospels of John, and that's because we believe in the importance of the Word of God. But then on top of that, we produce literally millions of other booklets and so on, young people's booklets, evangelistic booklets, all sorts of booklets in different languages. Then we have our folding machines. Now, you've seen the machine there at the beginning, printing the roll of paper. This now is the roll of paper being unwound. It's, as it is unwound, it is cut into individual pages. Those individual pages are then folded and put into the crate there, and then they will go to the saddle stitcher to be stapled and trimmed later on. But we have a whole variety of folding machines. I mentioned the CF flashcard Bible lessons. They are collated into books. Then we have to put the wire spiral bind in. So the first thing that has to be done, we have a whole group of volunteers that work on this machine. Different people come in different days of the week and operate this. But the first thing that you have to punch a hole right through the book, Then in the center there you'll see the spool of wire. That is then, that spool of wire goes into the center, it's put into the book. Then the flashcard and teacher guides are all packed into boxes and ready for shipping to some part of the world. This is our paper store. To give you a little idea, we're using at least 6 tons of paper every working day in the factory. Now, that means you have 6 tons of paper into the print room and 6 back out again. So there's a lot of movement of paper day by day there in the print room. Whenever we are buying paper, 40-foot trailer will hold roughly 22, 23 tons of paper. That particular reel will be around 700 kilos. That's just the paper coming in. At the moment, we're facing all sorts of predicaments as far as paper is concerned. There's a paper shortage in Europe, and that is even before all the war and all this, these problems. So we have paper shortage, we have fuel prices all increasing, making paper more expensive. And the latest one in the last couple of weeks has been that paper, of course, is made from pulp. Pulp is made from trees. And they now tell us that many of the trees that are used for pulp come from Ukraine and Russia. So I expect things are going to get even tighter as far as getting paper is concerned. Just to give you an idea, we would have said probably about this time last year that on average we were paying about £700 a ton. Now we're paying over £1,000 a ton. For the paper. So that just gives you a little idea, but we're not complaining. We're thankful the Lord is providing for us, and we are keeping going. We have all the shipping. So sometimes we're posting little 5 kilo parcels of literature. Other times we're shipping pallets of literature. Other times it's 20 foot or even 40 foot container loads of literature moving out. Altogether, we're sending to about 170 countries. Around the world. This is the biggest machine we have. It takes 3 rolls of paper, prints 3 rolls of paper all at the same time. So you have these 3 lines of paper coming through, all printing. It can print colour. The 3 lines of paper come together, they are folded, they are cut into sections, and those sections then go to the Müller Saddle Stitchers to be made into booklets. You're having there coming off about 12,000 sections an hour, again, into the crates and then going to be stapled and trimmed and so on. So, tremendous machine as far as getting a quantity of literature printed, and certainly invaluable in these days. I want to take you to 1 or 2 countries now. I want to take you to South Sudan. Now, we've got a big project there in South Sudan at the moment. We're working with an organisation called Mailbox Club. They produce young people's booklets, but they also have teacher's guides and all as well. So, as far as South Sudan is concerned, they approached the South Sudanese government, approached Mailbox, and said, "We would like to have your booklets in all of the schools of South Sudan. We would like every student to have these Bible study booklets." Now, the request basically was for 3 million booklets. So it is an absolutely huge project, plus all the teacher guides and so on. So we've been working at this, shipping containers every couple of months to South Sudan in order to meet this opportunity. Now, this consignment here arrived in the city of Juba, but they really wanted it in the city of Rank, which is quite a bit north of Juba. And they decided the safest and best way of transporting it was by river boat. So the first thing they did was they took the literature out of the boxes, wrapped it in plastic, put it back into the boxes. Then they put bamboo canes in the bottom of the boat, and then they built the boxes in on top of all of that. So boxes were all in, and then the tarpaulin goes on over the whole thing, and then the people on top of all that and that for travelling. Now, it's not just a short journey. This is the White Nile, and the journey was expected to take 8 to 10 days. The only problem was that a terrorist group went and hijacked the boat en route. Now, we weren't involved in any negotiations, but eventually it was released and it arrived 2 months after it set off. So, gives you a little idea, just some of the problems. But thankfully that literature has safely arrived, has been distributed, has been used there in the city of Rank, and now we are planning to ship another container next week to South Sudan. We also work with Mailbox Club in many, many other countries. This consignment of literature arrived in Sierra Leone not too long ago. The first thing that they did was they had teacher training, so they got the adults together for the training. After the training was complete, then the young people started to get the booklets and so on. So we work in many of the West African countries with Mailbox Club, basically all of the French-speaking countries of West Africa. We also ship to the likes of Ghana, Nigeria, Cameroon, some of these more English-speaking countries as well. Now, this group of folk here belong to Every Home for Christ. This was a conference last September out in Ivory Coast. These leaders have come from different parts of Africa to the conference. Now, many of these people have been using our literature. Many of them were actually requesting more literature. So they had their meetings. But at the same, and I had the opportunity of sharing at those meetings, one of the things that they were requesting and were very interested in was digital tracts. Now, whenever COVID hit, we started, and on our website, we started to put on our tracts in digital format. The whole idea is that anybody that can click on a tract can read the tract page by page. But then, as well, they can send it on to somebody else using social media, whether it's WhatsApp groups, whether it's Facebook or anything else, but they can send the message, the link to the tract on to other people, and other people can read it. So these leaders were all interested in that and wanted to see and learn how that all worked. Now, we met with quite a few of the leaders. This guy here is called Samuel and his wife. They are from Ethiopia. It was good to be able to meet up with him again. We've been working with him for a number of years. He got some of our tracts, translated them into the Amharic, the Oromo, and the Tigrinya languages. And, of course, distributed them. We printed them, and then he distributed. But he was telling me just before the conference, they had gone to a church one day, and he was hanging around before the service started. And he started talking to the usher, just a young guy. And as he started talking to him, he said to him, "Tell me, how did you trust the Lord to be your Savior?" And the young guy said, "Well," he says, "I don't come from a Christian home. I suffered from depression. I wasn't out for at least a year. But he said, "One day my sister came home. She brought a leaflet home and set it on our table. After she went out, I lifted the leaflet and started to read it. The title was A New Start." He said, "As I read that tract, then whenever she came home, he said to her, what church or where did you get this leaflet?" Well, she knew where she got it. So he went to that church. And he went to the church. There he trusted the Lord to be his Savior. He's got involved in the church. Today he's an usher. Now that tract, A New Start, was one of the tracts that we print, but it's one of the tracts that Samuel also translated into the Amharic language and that we shipped out and that he distributed. So, really good story as far as right round, you might say. Now, this guy here is called David and his wife from South Sudan. Now, David again has had Gospels of John from us. And he told me, he says, they've been distributed all over the place. But he said, this lady somehow managed to get a Gospel of John. No church connection whatsoever. And she started to read the Gospel of John for herself. Now, this particular woman was quite notorious. For the very simple reason, she stole everything that she could lay her hands on. And she managed to steal a goat. And she stole a goat, and quite a short time after she stole the goat had two kids. But she was reading the Gospel of John. And as she read through the Gospel, she trusted the Lord to be her Savior. At the same time, she realized, you know, this lifestyle is wrong. This can't keep going. I have to change my lifestyle if I'm going to trust in Jesus Christ. And what she did was, she took the goat back to the man that she stole the goat from. Not only did she take the goat back, but she also took the two kids as well. And she said, these belong to you as well. And you know what? Well, you can imagine the impact that had on that particular community for this woman to do this. And now she's involved in a church there. Sometimes we talk about the power of social media. I found the power of social media when I was in Ivory Coast, because I put a Facebook posting on that I was in Ivory Coast and what I was doing and so on. And within 15 minutes, I got a message, and it was from the leaders of CEF in the Ivory Coast. And they said, well, whereabouts are you? We want to come and see you. So the guy in the centre is the leader of CEF in Ivory Coast, and we met with him. We already supplied him for quite a few years with supplies of CEF literature and our own tracts and gospels as well. He wanted another supply of literature, and just over a week ago, he got another 6 pallets of literature safely arrived with him. So he is happy today. Then we have Nigeria. Nigeria, one of those huge countries, population-wise, over 200 million people in Nigeria. Now, we have our own depot there in Lagos. The idea is that as we import the containers into the country, we can take them to the depot, unload, and start and distribute the literature out across the country. This picture here is taken at our depot. These are all men that have come together for a men's day of prayer, praying for the work of revival movement, praying for the gospel tract distribution there in Nigeria. And in case you ladies are feeling left out, they also have the ladies' day of prayer as well. But many of these folk are also evangelists, and they're going out distributing the literature. They're on the streets of Lagos and right out across the country. And they do a tremendous amount of work. We're working with many organizations there in Nigeria. I should also mention Every Home for Christ. They have divided the country into 4 areas, northwest, northeast, southwest, southeast, and simply because of the population. And they have had a lot of our literature, distributed a lot of literature over this last few years. I was talking at that conference to the two leaders from the north of Nigeria. I know that the north of Nigeria, there's a lot of opposition, a lot of persecution and so on. And I had these two guys standing in front of me, beaming. Absolutely beaming with the joy of the Lord. And I said to these men, I said, tell me, do you have any opposition? They looked at me and they said, of course we do. We wouldn't be doing any work if we didn't have opposition. And it wasn't phasing on them whatsoever. But we're delighted to be able to help. They're asking us. We've supplied them actually with a lot of Hausa literature spoken in the north of Nigeria. They're actually asking us now for Arabic literature as well for their work there. Romania. We have continued to work with CEF in many different parts of the world. But again, during COVID, what they did was they made up packs of literature instead of having children's meetings and so on. And they went out, distributed those packs of literature into the hands of the boys and girls all across the country. Coming towards Christmas, we shipped them another big supply of literature. There was over 200,000 booklets. There was also teaching material for Christmas, a special program called Christmas Together. Now, this wasn't just in Romania, although it was large in Romania. They trained 1,200 workers for Christmas Together. So special children's clubs for Christmas time, presenting the gospel message and the Christmas story. But this also happened with CEF right across Europe. So a lot of countries got supplies of literature from us in their own local languages, and were distributing it during that time. So it was a very important project, a very important event there in Romania. Now, there's a guy there called Paul Williams. Paul actually has a whole batch of tents that he holds gospel crusades in through the summer. And he goes, sets up these gospel tents, these tents in a lot of the different villages where there are no evangelical witness. There he sets up the tent and holds a week, 2 weeks of meetings. That just gives you a little idea of people turning out to these gospel services. Not only that, he also will have a children's program, but he distributes a huge quantity of literature as well. We supplied him a lot of literature for the summer. Then we sent him about 130,000 calendars for Christmas. Now he's asking us, we're working on 100,000 Ukrainian Gospels of John for him for the north of the country. We also work with Bible Educational Services. This again, Young People's Bible Study Booklets. This is a consignment that arrived in Burkina Faso. There they have a really good network for distributing the material there. This group is actually from Angola. They had all just received training as to how to use the children's booklets there in Angola. This guy, Alexandro, in the centre of the picture, he lives on the Amazon. He has a boat there, goes up and down the Amazon, stops at all the little towns, goes into the schools, gives them the booklets, and those booklets are being used right up and down the Amazon in many of the schools there. So a really great way of reaching young people with the good news of the gospel. We also have been printing a lot of Spanish literature. We shipped a container to Puerto Rico. We also had a container arrive there a few days ago in Venezuela. We have a lot of Spanish requests at this moment in time. We actually have container loads of literature lined up to go to Colombia, Ecuador, Peru, Chile, and Mexico. So lots of openings as far as the Spanish world is concerned. Tanzania, we work with an organization there called Somna Biblica. They distribute a lot of our Gospels of John, but they're also very, very helpful in importing literature into Tanzania. They're very good at it. We actually have a container arriving there in the next week or two, again with a whole big consignment of Gospels of John for distribution in the schools there in Tanzania. This man in the centre of the picture is Jim Tanner. Now, Jim has been a missionary for many years in Papua New Guinea with New Tribes Mission. Over these years, he's written a lot of material, a lot of teaching material. We have printed over the years for him. I was very, very thankful that container of literature arrived literally before he left, because he's just turned 75 and he had to retire from the field. I don't think he's retired, because he's continuing to write. He has a whole team there in Papua New Guinea taking and looking after the work of the books being distributed. These men have been trained. They are going out into the tribes as well, helping to set up the churches there, giving them all this teaching material, and so on. So a tremendous volume of work going on there in Papua New Guinea, and we have been delighted to work with them. I just got another request from another mission just the other day, and they were asking us, could we print 10,000 books again for Papua New Guinea. Russia. Well, we all know about Russia at this moment in time, but we have been working for Russia for quite some time now, for the last 2-3 years, especially concentrating on Russia. Initially, we had printed literally millions of leaflets. About a year and a half ago, the Every Home for Christ in Russia approached us and they said, we would like you to print 4 million Gospels of John for our work. Well, I thought 4 million Gospels of John, let me see, and I had to do some calculations. Well, I did my calculations and I wrote back to them. I said, do you realize that that is 15 container loads of literature? They wrote back, yes, that's fine. So, the first thing that we had to do was get permission from the Russian government to import those Gospels. Took a few months of work getting that permission all through. But this time last year, we got the permission through and we started to print Russian Gospels of John. Since that time, we have shipped 6 container loads of Russian Gospels of John. Then they also asked us to do more leaflets for them. So we printed another 3 million leaflets for the work out there. They have about 30 to 40 folk distributing the literature at this moment in time in Russia. They also, full time, and then they have about 300 folk on a voluntary part time basis as well. Literally going door to door, distributing the Gospels of John, getting the Word of God out and into people's hands. This is the guy here that heads it all up and looks after it. This is Artem. I actually wrote to Artem. I wrote to him last Sunday night just to hear how he was and just to see what was going on as far as literature distribution was concerned. And this is what he said to me. He says, you know, he said, yes, when the war broke out, it was a huge shock to them. But he said, now, he said, we are working harder than ever to get that literature out, distributed, and into people's hands. He says, we want to get the message of hope into people's hands. That is what we are seeking to do at this moment in time. I'd asked him as well, because I wasn't really sure if they were continuing to distribute. So I really wanted to know, did they want more literature at this moment? And they're saying, yes, we can take all the literature that you can send. Now, at this moment, I'm not sure whether we can ship at this moment, because I know that the shipping line that we normally use put out a statement they weren't going to ship any more material except medical supplies. And they had another nice little line, and things that to help the people. Well, I reckon Gospels of John are one thing that will definitely help the people. So I'm just hoping that the shipping line will agree with me. That is what we're working for at this moment in time. At this moment, if you were in the factory, you would see Ukrainian Gospels of John being printed. Of course, since the war broke out, there are many different people working in many different situations right across that, all those different countries, from Moldova to Poland to Romania, Slovakia, and so on, all those neighbouring countries, all working, all doing relief work, many, many churches involved. Last night I spoke to one of the leaders of Bible Mission, he said, I spent a fortnight in Ukraine. He says, what we are doing is all the churches are, he says, we are putting a tremendous amount of food into the country. The churches, he said, are all working together, cooking food, providing food for the people, and so on. But again, the opportunity for the gospel is there in a tremendous way at this moment in time. We're hoping, as I say, we're 400,000 Gospels of John on the press right at this moment in time. We have different folk all lined up to get those. Some are getting 100,000, some are getting 25,000, some 50,000. Paul last night, he wanted another container load of material as well. So we have huge openings opportunities. CEF, they have got a little booklet called Do You Wonder Why? And this is really for boys and girls to try to help them to understand whenever these wars break out, when there's natural disasters and so on, why these things happen, and to at the same time present the gospel message. So they're after us. They're looking for quantities of these as well. So we have many openings, many opportunities at this moment in time. So tonight I would simply ask you, continue to pray for us. Pray that the Lord will help us in the work. We have all these openings, all these opportunities. So just pray that we'll be able to take as many of them as possible and get as much literature out and into the hands of these folk. So again, thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. We value it very much. And may the Lord continue to bless you. Thank you very much.
We're going to maybe sing a verse or two just of a hymn together, Rescue the Perishing, thinking of the great work of soul winning. Rescue the Perishing, Care for the Dying, Snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. We're going to sing together the first and the second and the last verses. We'll leave out the third. So 1, 2, and 4, and we'll stand as we sing, please.